Praise God. Y'all ready for the word? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to preach on evangelism, on how God wants us to evangelize and reach out to people. And how many knows that if ministry is not really about helping people, then it's not really a ministry, is it? And the Lord wants us to understand that ministry is all about helping people. And I'm sure every one of us here, we're in ministry, right? We're all in ministry. And when I say ministry, I mean serving. And a lot of times in the world has a view of, I serve, but I'm going to get something in return. And but we already know that God has a reward for us. We already know that that's good enough right there. And a lot of times the world has this view of, I'm going to serve, I want something in return. But that's not the kingdom way. That's not how the Lord taught us. But in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read starting at verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And here's the key verse that I want to focus on here tonight. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." This verse is telling me that when if we are hungry for righteousness, if we are hungry for God, if we are hungry for His presence, He will not fail us. I really believe this, and I know this sounds childlike, and the Bible says if you don't have childlike faith, right, you can't please God. And I believe that the Lord wants us to have such a childlike faith to say, Lord, I know if I ask you to fill me, you'll simply do it. That's it. The Lord will do it. If I ask the Lord, if I do it like this, Lord, I ask you, fill me with your presence, fill me with your goodness, so that I don't have a bad attitude today. Right? How many struggled with it this week? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I'll be the first one. And a lot of times, every day, we have to start over. Every morning, wake up. We got to start over. Lord, help me with this. Help me with this attitude. Lord, I ask you to fill me with your presence. I'm hungry for your presence. I'm hungry to be like you. But what happens is some people are more hungry to be like something else, whether it be fame, status, position, whatever it may be. But God has called us to be like who? Jesus. And that is our goal. That is our goal. And we ask the question, what does that look like? What does it look like to be like Jesus? Well, Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders, didn't he? Right? He laid hands on people, prayed for them, they got healed. He told them about the message. See, he didn't just tell them the message, he brought the message. Not only did he bring the message, but he is the message. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we don't want people saying, oh no, there he is again. Walk, go, 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 go. There he is, he's coming around the corner. Every time he talks to me, it's like a broken record. I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to listen to him. And so, I know that in some cases, it's conviction of the Holy Spirit. I do understand that. But I know that in most cases, it's really not conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's how they bring the message. It's very important how. We all agree on the focus of our message. Who is the focus of our message? Jesus. But we tend to disagree on the how we give the message. Some people believe in holding up signs, calling people names, and telling them that they are going to hell and that there is no love for them, there is no hope for them. And so they have a distorted view of the gospel, don't they? It's not presented in a good way. How many has ever been to a restaurant and you had your favorite, you ordered your favorite meal, you ordered your favorite dish, the server brings it out to you, but the plate is like dirty, the silverware is dirty, everything, and you're like, man, this is all dirty. Look, this crust stuff is still on the plate, you know. It's, you get your favorite, you get the message, but what it's presented in is not good. We have a tendency to tell the good news in a bad news way. Did y'all catch that? So, I know what, and you're asking me the question now, well, how do we tell the good news in a good news way? Well, first of all, you be nice. That's how you do it in a good news way. Number two, you smile. Right? You smile. There's nothing like a smile that disarms people. I've never seen people respond really well to someone who, right? I don't know if that looked like mad, but you all know I don't look angry. You might have think, man, what's wrong with him? But people don't respond well to that kind of stuff. People respond to people who do not cause them to be on the defense. And I have found that the church has presented the good news in a way where it causes people to be combative, to be argumentative, to be, get away from me, I don't want to hear what you have to say because you really don't care about me. And I think it's our responsibility. We are responsible for how we give the message. We are responsible for that. And I think a lot of times we have given the message in a bad news kind of way. So what's the question? How do we do this? How do we give the good news? Well, I told you one, smile. Act like you got Jesus in your heart, right? Right? And people need to know that you're not there to judge them. That you're there to actually tell them the good news. What is, first of all, we need to define what good news means, right? Jesus came to die for us, to die for our sins, not hold our past against us. He came to give us an abundant life. He came to give us life so that we may have it more abundantly, right? And through that abundant life, we can stop a life of sin, right? Now, we may fall, we may make mistakes, but we learn from it, and we say, you know what? Since I'm saved, I'm not going to do it again. Amen. Since I'm saved. So we need to focus on the good news. I've never seen anybody change their mind when they were arguing on Facebook. When it comes to theological debates, right, on whether one of the two witnesses was Enoch or Elijah, I don't know if y'all have studied that or not, but they get into these arguments about who, if it'll be Enoch or Elijah or Moses. Listen, I love talking about that stuff, but knowing whether or not it's going to be Moses, Elijah, or Enoch is not going to save you guys. It's not going to save anybody, but it's good to know. It's good to know what the Bible says. We do know there's going to be two witnesses, right, coming during the tribulation, but that's not what we're preaching about tonight. We do know that, but there are some things that we waste our time on more with theological debates, with things that throw people off, that causes them to be defensive. This is another thing that throws people off, when God's people don't get along with each other. When you see a brother or a sister, believers get, when they're at each other like, you know, when they're over there arguing, how we treat others, the world sees how we treat each other, The world sees that. And we have to remember that we are one body. One. We are one body. There are members, but we are one body. And we're in this thing together, right? And there's nothing more that the devil would like to do is to cause God's people to be competitive against each other in competition. Competing, whether it be ministry, whether it be whatever, if the enemy can get people to such a division, it would keep people from getting saved. Because if we're arguing with each other and we're complaining about each other, then that doesn't give us time to pray for each other. And if we're not praying for each other, what do you think will happen? Be some bad things happen, won't it? Division, complaints. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about this? And all of a sudden, nobody's praying for each other now. Y'all catch that? Y'all with me still? And so God has called us to be like him, to be like Jesus, and we are to pray for each other. All right, I have a big concern, and I hope that I can bring this to your attention. You're probably like, I already knew about this. Jesus did not spend a whole lot of time in church buildings, in synagogues and temples. He didn't spend a whole lot of time. In fact, Jesus spent most of his time in the streets, in the cities. That's where Jesus spent most of his time. Now, one of the concerns that I have is that we may spend more time doing ministry here rather than doing ministry outside the church building. And that's why Jesus said go. So if Jesus spent most of his time in the streets outside the church building, where should we spend most of our time? We should spend most of our time doing ministry in ministry terms, right? We should spend most of our time ministering to other people. Because most of the time, most Sundays, when we gather here, most Wednesdays, everybody's saved. We come in here, people are saved. But what are we doing about the people who aren't saved? What are we doing about that? Here's another question. We'll make it personal. What am I doing about it? Because I've seen this before when it comes to procrastination. How many's ever procrastinated with anything? I've procrastinated a lot with math homework. I was notorious for that. But procrastinators, well, so-and-so will do it. Well, we'll wait and see if this will work. We'll let so-and-so do it. We'll let so-and-so do it. And then about a year later, we're still planning to do it, whatever that it is. We're still planning. And a lot of times, I'm not against planning, and I'm not against preparation, but a lot of times we get stuck in preparation mode. We get stuck in planning mode. And we're stuck, we plan, but we never do. Faith without works is dead. And so God has called us to actually go and do His will, go and do His word. That's what God has called us to do. And people are hungry for Jesus. Now, they may not know it. They may not know it, but they are. They go for things in this world, whether it be addiction, whatever it may be, I don't know, going for things. They don't know it, but they're searching for Jesus. They're searching for someone who can fulfill, who can fill that hole in their heart. And they're trying to search for that in the world. It could be in a person, guys. It could be in a person. Have you ever seen a person become so codependent on someone, right? So codependent that they actually think that their whole purpose and their whole life revolves around that person. Some of us are shaking our heads. Yep, that's right, that's right. But it's true. And so what we're really searching for is true purpose and true fulfillment in our hearts, because a person can't give that to you. Now, you can share that purpose with them and you can share that fulfillment with them, but never put the weight, because no human can carry the weight of Godhood on their life. And a lot of times we can put that weight on that person and they can't carry it. They can't, because that person is sin. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And so we can put too much emphasis on a person, a thing, whatever it may be, and we could miss the boat there. But you know what? We've all made that mistake, and God still has mercy on us. He still shows us grace. He still helps us. He's still there. His presence is still there. And you say, well, what does that got to do with evangelism? What does that? It's got everything to do with evangelism. Because our personal walk with God will overflow in our evangelistic efforts to reach other people for Jesus. And that's what God has done. All right, y'all ready for this point? Doing the message precedes telling the message. Doing the message, faith without works is dead, right? Doing the message precedes telling the message. And this is where serving comes in. We have to be willing to serve with no regard to response. It doesn't matter how they respond. We keep serving. We keep on serving people. We keep on serving people. That is a servant's heart. That's what God has called us to. We serve. See, a lot of times we tell the gospel in a forced way. If people don't respond to what we're saying, you know what? I've done it. I'll give you an example. In my mind, when people don't respond to the gospel after I told them the greatest message on the face of this earth, and I'm like, how in the world could you not accept this great message, this message of love, this message? How in the world could you not accept that? How in the world? And in my mind, I'm like, increase the pressure. Pour it out on them. Make them sweat. But what I was doing, I was being more confrontational. I was confronting. I was trying to pressure them to serve the Lord. Now listen, if you can pressure, you don't forget this now, If you can pressure someone to live for Jesus, then somebody else can pressure them out from living for Jesus. That's not correct grammar, but you knew what I was saying. Did y'all catch that? If you can pressure them and push them into serving Jesus, somebody one day soon will push them out from serving the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit is the only one who's effective at bringing someone to the Father to be saved. Now that's good teaching, church, because I can't do it. I can't bring them to the Father. You can't, right? John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6, verse 54. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. St. John chapter 6. Okay, I'll turn there. Okay. Let me turn there here. Anyways, I don't have the scripture, but it does say this, that's not it. I think it's John, is it verse 66 maybe? No. But I can quote it. I could quote it because I know it from heart. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father, right, but by me. And then he says it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to the Father. And I just wanted to give you scripture for that. So you didn't think, well, Pastor Sam's just saying it. No, scripture says it, that it's the Holy Spirit that does it. So when I evangelize, I serve. Yes, there it is. So when I, it's verse 44. So when I serve, I'm doing the message. Before I tell the message. Because if I always try to tell. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't work all the time. But when you serve people. And they begin to ask you questions. Because it's different when you let them ask the questions. Rather than you asking them the questions. Kind of like when I first. Let's say this is my first meeting with Sherry right now. Sherry, have you made the Lord. Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Looking at me. What? But if I serve her, but if I serve in some way, form or fashion, whether it be water, whatever it is, free water, what you're willing to serve them with something tangible, it opens their heart, it opens an avenue for them to hear the gospel. Because I've never seen anybody get mad at someone for offering something free, a service to serve. That's doing the message. You need to be good news to people. If you're not good news to people, maybe you should rethink some things. You know, when you bring it, you should have so much positivity in your heart, so much positivity surrounding you. People are like, oh man, we need to hear some of their wisdom. We know they really care. We know that they're not in this thing. And when it comes to evangelism, it takes the pressure off me. Because I know the Holy Spirit is the only one who could draw them to the Father. Right? A car just backed me up when I said that. Did y'all hear that? But I'm not pressured at all when I do evangelism. When I talk to people, I'm not pressured at all. Since I'm not pressured, I don't pressure them. You don't want to receive the Lord as your Savior? Well, I'm not going to pressure you to do it. I'm not going to say, increase the pressure, pressure them. No, you let the Holy Spirit do His work. There was a study done, and this was back in the 70s by Dr. Benjamin is his name. And he said that he's seen this pattern. He did a study, and he said that a person has at least five significant encounters with people telling them about Jesus before they give their life to the Lord. Five of them. You know what we do? If people don't receive the Lord at times when we tell them the gospel, when we tell them about the Lord, we'll increase the pressure, and we don't give the Holy Spirit time to perform heart surgery on them. Did y'all catch that? We don't give the Holy Spirit time. And what happens is the very seeds we planted, we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit to keep those seeds from ripening. Are y'all with me? What if every Christian told somebody that God loves them every day? God loves them, God loves them. People would have more than 5 encounters with the Lord's love, wouldn't they? Right? Just imagine if somebody came to you, Kurt, Lisa, Lindsay, if somebody came to you in one day, if every Christian said, hey, I just want to let you know that God loves you. Hey, I just want to let you know you got a purpose for your life. You know what you'll start thinking? You'll be like, God must be telling me something here. Right? This is about us investing in other people, serving each other. And that's the reason why I am a big fan of servant evangelism. I'm all about serving people because that's what Jesus did. Jesus served people. You got to give the Holy Spirit time to do heart surgery on people. And this is what we do sometimes. We act as salesmen. We try to manipulate people into serving the Lord. But if you can manipulate someone to serve God, somebody else is going to manipulate them out of serving God. You with me? Because if I'm the one doing the drawing, well, I may draw them in with some kind of tactic, sales tactic or whatever, try to draw them in. Well, man, sooner or later, it's just a temporary thing. They're just going to fall away and go do something else, right? And so with me telling you this, you say, Pastor Sam, why are you telling us this? Why are you telling us about evangelism? It's because we don't do it. We don't do evangelism. Because I know every time when we say the word evangelism, we kind of go, I gotta talk to people. I gotta go out to people. And the thing about servant evangelism, doing the message before telling the message, it's a whole lot easier, guys, when you serve. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus served. He washed feet. He served people. He disarmed people. Because people are very defensive. Very defensive. You know, it was like Casey that told that story. They went out to the fair, started praying for everybody. You know what? They didn't even invite. Their agenda, listen to this, their agenda was not even to invite people to church. Even though they're not against that, they want them to come to church. Who wouldn't want someone to come to church here, right? But their agenda was not, come to my church, come. Their agenda was all about them encountering Jesus. And they went through that fair, and they just walked up to people and said, hey, you got anything you'd like to pray for? Went to a man who just started singing a song from, who was it, Kid Rock or something other? Y'all remember that? Yeah. And immediately, when Casey said something about praying for him, immediately the man got defensive. I know I'm doing wrong. Look, I know you probably smell it on my breath and everything. And Casey said, I'm not worried about that. I just wanted to pray for you, man. I just wanted to show you the love of God. By his own admission, he knew he was doing wrong. He didn't need anybody else to say, dude, do you know you're doing wrong? He already knows it. People know it. People have a conscience. People know when they're doing wrong. People know when they're doing right. They do. And that's what God's calling us to. He's calling us to a selfless life where we die to ourselves. And we pray for people and we ask people. We need to invest in people and impact them spiritually. I'm serious about this, guys. This is what God has called us to do. We've got to move. Yes, we are saved by grace. And I'm a preacher of grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But when will we show grace to others? When will we show mercy to others? They don't deserve it. Well, that's not what Jesus would say. Jesus gave his life for you. And people that have a hard time forgiving don't realize how much God forgave them. Who hold bitterness in their heart, right? Amen, church. How many's getting something out of this tonight? Amen. Doing the message precedes telling the message. And we need to understand that sharing the good news is a process, not a project. We call them outreach projects. Call them projects. They're not projects. It's a process. Some people, they don't give their life till years later to the Lord. Years later. They hear about it every once in a while. You'll have someone that seed. Every time you tell somebody about the good news, you're planting seed. You're planting seed. You're planting seed in that person's life. Now, it may be a few years after that, but they're still going to remember that time where you planted that seed of kindness in their heart, where you planted that seed, that word of God, right? But I have found as a church, and I hope I'm getting the message across tonight, I have found as a church that we have been more words instead of works. Does that make any sense? We have been more about words than works. We have been very wordy. Let me tell you. Well, if we show them, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus showed them his love. But it says in Romans that Christ demonstrated. Everybody say demonstrated. It was a demonstration. He didn't just tell them. He demonstrated it. He showed it. And that's all about, and that's what evangelism is about. When you understand that serving precedes the telling, evangelism won't be so scary to you. Even for the one who is very introverted, who does not do well with other people, right? And we've all used that excuse, haven't we? I've used that excuse, right? I'm not social. I don't like to be around. I don't want to talk to people. Listen, when you understand what Jesus has done for your life and you understand the command that God has given us, man, you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them about it. But when you serve people, it could be the little things. Everybody say the little things. Bringing a free cup of coffee to the people you work with on Monday morning when you go into work. Hey, man, I figured you want a biscuit from Hardee's. Good old gravy and biscuits, right? Bring something. It's the little things. It's the little things that help. And I'm telling you, church, you say, oh, he's just preaching that stuff, that crazy old stuff. Listen, if Christians would start thinking, if believers would start thinking of other people and serving them, they say, I ain't serving that person. He causes this job that I'm working at horrible, right? Or he causes this place whatever. Well, those are the people you need to serve. Amen, church. That's what God has called us to do. Serve, serve, serve. And he will reward us. Can you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6? This is Paul talking. He said, I planted. What do you plant? You plant seed, right? I planted, Apollos watered. But who gave the increase? God gave the increase. I'm not the one who brings. I'm sorry, I keep pointing back that way. I need to be pointing up this way. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the increase. You know? And I hear people say, well, how'd you grow the church? I don't know. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord how the church grows. We're responsible for how we give this message, how we give it. And if we're offering this gospel in a dirty plate, it will turn people off. We give them the good news in a good news kind of way, not in a bad news kind of way. This is the good news. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to heal you. Jesus came to deliver you. This is the truth. And guess what? He accepts you right now. Right now, he accepts you. As we speak, he accepts you. I don't know, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to jump up with joy, shout hallelujah, because I understand what God brought me from. I understand what God has forgiven me of. And how many's ever heard of people, and I hear this at Overcomers Outreach. I heard it the last time I went there to the meeting. And I hear this said a lot. I don't go to church because of church people. I hear it all the time, and I heard it. But they'll say, and I don't know, some of them may be using it as an excuse not to go to church. I don't know. Now, there's some cases that do, but I hear it. But I hear this quite a bit. I don't go to church because of church people, because of the way people are at church. They look at me differently. They look at me. If I got something different on, they look at me differently. They know my life. They know my past, and they look at me differently. I just don't go. After I see them, they live a double standard. How many's ever heard that one? Right? Now listen, I know we're all not perfect. All right, I know that. Right? I'm not telling y'all to try to be perfect, but I am telling you to strive for excellence. Amen, church. We need to strive for excellence. We're not going to be perfect, but we can strive for excellence. But I hear that, and I hear people, but they're open to Jesus. They're open to that. They're open to hear what the Bible says. They're open to hear what the Word of God says. But for some reason, they have a negative view of some people in the church. And it breaks my heart that I hear that all the time. You know? Now, some people may be using that as an excuse not to go, not to be around because of the conviction of their heart. They may be using an excuse. But I believe some of that stuff is actually true, guys. That actually does happen. And so as I speak to everybody here tonight, don't let this church become one like that and have that reputation of, well, they treated me differently when I walked in the door, right? And they looked at me funny, and I just don't feel comfortable there. I don't want to hear people say that. I want to hear people say, I can go to church, and I don't have to be defensive spiritually, not like fist fighting, but defensive. Y'all see what I'm saying? That I don't have to be defensive, that I could come in, let my guard down, and just worship the Lord with everything that I have. Pastor, you know that person sitting over there in the very corner, you know what they're struggling with, and they're over there raising their hands. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. And I see people, they get so involved with somebody else's life that they forget about their own spiritual walk with God. Amen, church. You let them worship the Lord. God will work on them because God can do a better job on their heart than I can, than you can, than we can. Amen, church. God can do a better job. So I leave them alone. I know what they're struggling with. I know what they're going through. Yeah, it was pretty bad what they did. But I leave them alone. And I tell them the truth. And I say, you make this decision. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. If you make this decision, your life will be a whole lot better. You'll have a better quality of life. Actually, it'll get you into heaven if you obey the Bible, make the right decision. Amen, church. So don't let this church have a reputation of judgment, 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 judgment. Let's be a church. Let's have a reputation of loving people and loving God. Right? I don't want this church to have a reputation of, I just got tired of that other person. I just got tired. Listen, we don't get tired of each other, guys. We love each other. We help each other. Right? We need to have the right motive. A pure motive, why we're here. I believe, honestly believe this, that we are here with a pure motive. We're not here for show. We're not here for performance. We are here to put Jesus first in our lives. I really believe that. And we're not here to see if so-and-so showed up again for church on Wednesday night, right? We're not here, I can see some of them now driving to church on Sunday morning. I wonder if so-and-so is going to be there again this Sunday morning. Well, if they're there or they're not there, what are you going for? You going to worship the Lord? Amen, church. You see how we get so caught up in the little things about church and things? We need to be known for going out and ministering to people and telling them about doing the message of the gospel, right? And not letting this place become a reputation of looking down on people. But we have a reputation and character of helping people be better than they were yesterday. Because I don't know about you, I read a post the other day, and I'm almost done. I read a post the other day, and I really liked it. And it said, I'm not in competition with no one. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. So as your pastor, I'm not in competition with anybody, nobody. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. And I hope that you have that kind of attitude also. So let's serve people. Let's help people. Let's pray for them. And let's keep going for the kingdom of God. God will bless you. If you obey, God will bless you. Are you with me? Are you with me on this tonight? Amen, church. Give a loud amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's do that. And let's focus on the solution. not the problem. Amen? Who's the solution? Jesus. The solution is Jesus. So take this message. Take it home with you. Don't forget this message tonight. Right? We're called to be like Jesus. Let's serve. Let's do things for people with no regard in return. Let's love each other. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you.